Welcome to the Nebraska Crew Podcast, where we help college students find and follow Jesus and make disciples on campus and for a lifetime. In this episode, we talk about life after college and what it takes to know yourself and your next step. We get into the mysterious issue of calling and why it may not mean what you think it means, and we talk about a whole lot else. Enjoy the episode.
Everyone, welcome to the Nebraska Crew Podcast. I'm Melissa McVicker, and I'm on staff with Crew Nebraska. And today I'm here with James Prusch and Alan Prothman, and we are going to be talking about life after Crew. So James and Alan, why don't you guys just tell us a little bit about your experience after college?
Alan, you want to go first? What was it like for you leaving college, leaving Crew?
Yeah, so I think right after college, for me, honestly, the way it felt was, it was like everybody else had like plans, you know, if you will imagine you're going to have a summer vacation, all your friends, you know, you're all talking about how you're going to have the summer and what are you going to do? Everyone else goes off to go to summer camp or do this random job over here. But you yourself, for some reason, your summer plans kind of fall through and you're just there. So my experience after college was, it really felt like everyone just left and went and did things. Mm. And here I was trying to figure things out. I didn't know what kind of job I wanted to do. I didn't really know where I wanted to go. So it was a very ambiguous time. And I was very surprised because I thought I had so many friends at college, and I did. But that all just changed within a blink of an eye after graduation day because everyone left. Yeah. So kind of an interesting experience for me.
Yeah. When I left college, I kind of extended it because I joined staff with Crew as an intern for 2.5 years. So I felt like I was in college, but didn't have to go to class that first year and a half. And then I went to South Africa for a year. I was engaged then. And so that's a whole nother podcast episode. But then when I got back and I got married, that felt like for me, the first year out of college, and I wasn't around my friends. Of course I had Carly, who's also on staff, and my wife, but the real world kicked in when I was like, whoa, like there's not a crew meeting and you go to church and there's people who are all different ages and you have to take the initiative to really meet friends. And then you go to work. I worked a regular job, a non-ministry job. And it was like, wow, these people are really different than me. They don't have common interests. Most of them in the situation I was in were women, older women. And so it was like, I didn't have friends at work. And so it was a lot different than college. I felt alone and like, I didn't know how to interact with the world because I enjoyed college so much and I enjoyed being in Crew. And that's where I made my friends. But I didn't know what to do when I got out of college. So what about you, Melissa?
Yeah, my experience was a little strange. I went an extra semester and I was student teaching in the elementary school. And so the first half of the year, I was still in school, but it didn't really feel like it because I was student teaching. So I had this like, here's what your life would look like as a teacher. And then the second semester I had graduated and I was working part-time with Crew. And so I kind of had this like ministry experience. And so it felt super strange. Mm. This year was like, it was kind of like this fork in the road. It was like, okay, what do you want your life to look like? Are you going to like pursue this non-ministry job or are you going to like do ministry? Yep. I wasn't really sure what I was like supposed to be doing. It kind of felt like two separate lives a little bit. So it was really disorienting. Really like stressful to make that decision. Yeah. And I ended up deciding to intern with Crew and then ended up joining staff. And so I had a lot of community, like being on staff. But the journey to like, to get there was really hard. Not knowing what the Lord wanted me to do or like even what I felt like I was made to do.
That's good. Now, Alan, really quick, we don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but tell us about the weirdest job you had after college, because Alan's done a couple different things. We'll move on to serious stuff, but I want you guys to hear what Alan thinks about his weirdest job after college.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if maybe you're thinking of one that I'm not thinking of right now.
And then I'll tell you the answer. Yeah.
Was it working for a political campaign?
Yeah, that probably would be the weirdest.
Yeah. I mean,
you drove Governor Ricketts around.
Yeah, I drove him around, but that was after I also helped out with Senator Fisher on her campaign. But before Alan
knows
that,
you need to understand that Alan knows people because of what he did after college.
Yeah. And before that, I was making freelance videos for somebody. They were trying to start an insurance video series. So I was making videos for that. It's a lot of random stuff. And then I helped like homeless people find work, people that were unemployed. Yeah, people that were kind of down on their luck. I did a lot of odd jobs.
I love it. Well, before we were recording earlier today, Melissa was talking to you. Melissa, you were talking to me about this idea of calling and how when college students embark on graduation or leaving or military or transferring, whatever it is, whatever their next step is, this idea of calling can be paralyzing. Tell us your thoughts about that. And let's talk about that for a couple minutes.
Yeah. So I think this really hit me because I experienced that. So I had that year, right, where I had the student teaching and then I had this ministry and I felt like so scared that like, what if God's calling me to something and I miss out on it? And then I'm just out of luck and I've missed God's call in my life. But I've been learning recently that like biblically the word calling, it's not really like necessarily vocation, or work. When you look at like the biblical, like the Greek and the Hebrew word for calling, primarily it talks about, being in a relationship with God and your identity.
Yeah.
And then like the other way that they use calling, is to talk about ethic or like a way of living. He calls you to holiness or to peace.
Totally.
And there's really only a few verses that relate to calling and vocation. You know, Abraham, when God calls him.
Yep.
And so I think, and you know, you even see like the New Testament epistles, this calling that you received, it's never a reference to a specific vocation, but rather the state of being as a Christian. Like we are called to be image bearers. We're called to be children of God. And I think that realization, should really free us up because while yes, God has made you wonderfully, he's made you specifically, and he's gifted you in certain ways. So yes, there are certain things that you'd be really good at. We're never going to miss out on God's calling, by choosing a specific vocation, or job, because what he's called you to be is an image bearer. And you can do that no matter what you're doing, whether it's ministry, whether it's a job in business. And so, yeah, I think that's a really freeing realization for me of like, I can do anything and still be living in God's call.
Totally. Now I love that. And I've had to come to the point in my life where I say, I don't really like where my income comes from is not the issue. My calling is to Jesus, to his kingdom, to make disciples. I'm always going to be doing that. But I don't know if I always thought that. Like when I came out of college, I really thought like, oh, I was called to ministry and that's what I'm going to do. And I didn't look hard enough at the other direction to see, well, you know, what we're, so I kind of had like, I was locked in, like, this is the one thing God wants. And it's, you know, it's worked out and I am where I am. But I think now at this stage in my life, what I would love to pass on to a college student who is in my shoes would be to say, you know, hold all the details with an open hand and know that wherever you go, the point is you glorify God. You know, whatever you do it for the Lord and not for men. So whether you're helping homeless people find jobs or you're driving around the governor or you're preaching the gospel in a church, you know, your calling is still to Jesus.
Yeah. There really is no secular, you know, work because everything, God has made everything. And so everything can be holy, whether it's, you know, farming or whether it's, you know, being a parent or like, you know, being a teacher, like it all, yeah, it's all, it can all be holy work.
Alan, you have any thoughts on calling? Was it, I mean, you went to non-ministry world and then you went back into ministry world. And so I was wondering if you ever felt paralyzed or unsure.
Yeah. You know, when I was making the decision to join ministry, it was really because I had such a great experience with doing overseas ministry and specifically doing evangelism. So my thought was, I really want to spend the best of my kingdom hours doing what I feel like gives me the most life. And for me, that was telling people about Jesus or studying the Bible with somebody or praying. So that was my mindset. Now, when I was doing other jobs outside of, you know, outside of the ministry world, or just kind of random odd jobs. Yeah. I felt like I had a lot of tension, with, man, I really wish I could be doing this. I wish I could be doing that. And the things that I was really desiring to do was just be more free to talk with students about Jesus, and to grow in my own spiritual life. But I felt like I was pretty hampered by that because I had to do other stuff with my job. So I was really, really thankful to make that transition and change. But yeah, I think with calling, I think similar to what you guys are saying, like, you know, if your desire is to do a certain field of work and you love it, and I mean, you're finding fulfillment through it, but also you feel like you can interact with other people and point them to Jesus. It doesn't have to be just in ministry. Like, I just feel like people use the calling card as this hyper spiritualized way of saying that God spoke to them in a vision and a dream to tell them to go here or there. But
totally.
Yeah. You can serve the Lord in everything you do, but for me, I was just really wanting to do more, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what would you say, you guys, are some of the things that people should be thinking about as they consider the next step after college? So Alan, you mentioned, like, you know, what you're passionate about. What would be some other things that could point people in the right direction as they consider their next step?
Yeah. Paying attention to the way that you're made, you know. You've got gifts, you have a personality, you have a bent. And that's not an accident. God made you on purpose. And so, I think that's really helpful, in deciding what you want to do. And then also too, like having others speak into your life. You know, if someone says, you know, I think you'd be really good at this, and they know you well, and they're, you know, trustworthy, good advice, I think that's really important to listen to take that advice.
I was just going to add that, you know, you should consider, like, what is that thing that's been on your heart that you've always wanted to do? That's realistic, right? Like every kid in the Midwest is like, I want to grow up and be a Husker football player and then play in the NFL. Okay. Well, probably not realistic, but maybe God's put medicine on your heart or architecture. You know, maybe you're an artist, like you just find beauty in things. I've told my daughter, our 7-year-old, like she loves art. And I was sitting down with her watching her color one day, and I was telling her all the things you could do with art. And I pulled out the advertisements that were in the, like the weekly ad, you know, that you get in the mail. And I was telling her, I was like, look at this. Like, do you know, like an artist designed this? They did it on a computer, but it's still an artist. Like, artists make clothes, artists do book covers, like you name it, everything is art. And so for her, like, I want her to see her passion and ability could be, you know, what she uses to get near to people, to make disciples. Right. And that's kind of maybe how I think about your occupation. And, you know, for college students, your next step is, what is that thing that you love and you're passionate about that can get you close to people so you can influence them for Jesus? But all those things, I think opportunities as well, you know, if you have the opportunity to, you know, take an internship that could get you some idea of if you'll like that job, you should do it so that you don't, you know, become an elementary school teacher. And then you're like, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
I hate that. Well, shadow a teacher, right? Take some opportunities to shadow people or do internships and stuff like that. All that kind of stuff that we've been just talking about will, I think, help. Now, Melissa, you were just telling us like you did something through a seminary course called Divine Design and like learning about yourself. Anything that you think was helpful that students and listeners should know?
Here, let this long pause out. I'm trying to think. Did I say anything specific, James?
No.
I'm trying to think. Sorry. Nothing's coming to mind.
Well, here, let's
move on. I feel like I'm in the right job because of that thing.
Yeah, I can say something too. I mean, obviously you guys are talking about individuals that kind of already have kind of an inclination in their heart and a desire, and they want to go this direction. They're like, man, you know, I've always thought about marketing and doing advertising and stuff, you know, then I think that's fine to go into that field and whatnot. But what I think a lot about is in my own journey, I really had no idea where I wanted to go and what direction I wanted to go into.
Me too. Amen.
Yeah. And I think a lot of students feel that way because it just feels so permanent. Like you graduate and then you find a career and then like you're done. I mean, aside from the whole find a spouse, get married, have kids and stuff, but in the professional world, like you're done. I think with you guys saying like job shadow, that's a huge thing. That's something I kind of wish that I did with my random odd jobs that I did. But I want to even add to what we were talking about with the calling thing is I think it's really important to know whatever you do, you can do to the glory of God. There's not really one intrinsically right answer and one intrinsically wrong answer. Like I think all of them can be super glorifying fields. So yeah, I think it's great to experiment, try a few different things. Job shadow is a huge thing. And you don't need to take the first job that's thrown your way. I'll just say that. That's something that I kind of wish I thought about more. You don't have to take the first salary job that's offered your way. Because there's gonna be a lot of them. And this might be terrible advice during a pandemic and the economy, but you can be cautious. You can save yourself a little if you have no interest in a certain career field. Because chances are 8 months down the road, man, I really still don't like this job.
Yeah.
But I think something to note too is that, you know, there's going to be things that you like in the job, but every single job, there's going to be things that you don't. And it doesn't mean that you're in the wrong thing, because really, like, God uses those things and he uses like our strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so just because, you know, the job isn't a perfect fit, or there's things that are hard, doesn't mean that it's not the right place for you to be.
That's good. I have a friend who, he's an engineer and his job is to help reduce emissions in China. So, you know, China has a lot of emissions problems. And so that's just like his job. And he told me, like, so he lectures at like Yale and Harvard, like he's a smart dude. And he said, if you can find a job where you're operating at like 75% at where you want to be and you just deal with the other 25, that's really good. And I'm like, wow. Like, so if you're like, you know, not administratively gifted, like up to 25%, you got to learn to just deal with that. Right. Or maybe you are super administratively gifted, but you got to do some people work. Well, up to 25% of people work, because you just got to deal with it. So yeah, you're not going to get to do 100% of, you know, what you love and just go, oh, every minute of the day I am doing something I love. It's probably not
realistic.
That'd
be nice. Yeah.
It'd be really nice.
That'd be awesome. So it's probably no secret that life after college and community after college looks really different. And so let's talk about what it takes to stay committed to Jesus after college.
Yeah, I think some of the biggest things are obviously be plugged in with the church. Be plugged in with the church, and not just that you're attending a church, but that you are known by people in your church and you know people in your church.
How do you find the right church?
You find the right church. Well, there's many, and churches look very different from many other churches. But the biggest things to look out for are they teaching great, like, normal biblical, like, teaching? Do they have good theology? Is it a welcoming environment? Like, are these people, like, talking to each other? Does there seem to be a sense of community? And, does it look multi-generational? Are there people from, you know, like a grandparent's age to really young kids to high school to new parents? I mean, those are some of the things that I think of.
That's good.
Yeah. But I think being plugged in with the church and being involved in like a smaller group study, that's super key. People you can be vulnerable with, you can talk through like God's word with, but most importantly, that you can do life with.
Yeah.
A scary statistic I heard in college was if within 6 months after graduating college, if I wasn't involved with a church by then, chances are I would never get involved with a church.
I believe it.
And like those stats come from different college ministries, like students that were like, I was involved with this ministry in college.
I think finding a church is so key, and it's probably harder than it seems because, like you said, Alan, there's so many different churches and different kinds of churches. Now, if you go back to your hometown and there's your one, you know, evangelical free church or your Bible church, and that's what you went to when you were growing up, you know, that's a little easier. But say you move to a bigger city, maybe you move to Omaha, maybe you move to Minneapolis, Chicago. That, you know, if you're a student listening, that's when you can talk to us because we might have friends in those cities. But if you're like, I go to a city, I don't know anybody. Do all those things Alan just mentioned, to look for those things, and find a place that preaches the Bible, loves Jesus, loves people, and is warm and welcoming. Like to us, I think as a family with kids, like the warm and welcoming thing is so important. And it's going to be the way that you make friends and find a real community of people who will care for you, and you can care for them too. We could talk about friends in a minute, but, and like how to do it, but how to make friends. But yeah, you need a warm and welcoming community that will like adopt you, especially if you move to a place where you don't have any family, which you might if you take a job somewhere across the country.
I think a key in all of that too is, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but I think a lot of times it's going to take a lot of initiative on your part.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of us are used to in college, like that staff member, you know, constantly pestering you to meet for discipleship or go to Bible study, or, you know, maybe it's one of your crew leaders where they're constantly pursuing you and are being really intentional with you. And again, sorry, but that doesn't happen a lot, like in the church.
Yeah.
So it's going to take it might take a lot of effort on your end to get plugged in, and that stinks. Like it maybe shouldn't be that way. But if you really want to get involved and you want to get connected, you're going to have to do the work to make those connections.
That's so good. I was going to say initiative, so I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. I mean, we want everybody to just be so friendly to us and come and say, hey, you know, I want to take you out for lunch after church. And hopefully that happens, but you might have to be the one to stand up during that awkward church greeting time, right? And say, hi, my name is James and I'm new and I don't know anybody. That's going to take guts.
Yeah.
But it will pay off.
Definitely.
Well, what about when, you know, what if somebody moves to a part of the country that just doesn't have a lot of great churches, right? Maybe their churches, they're not really preaching Jesus. Or maybe they moved to a different part of the world for whatever reason. Could be with crew or be another missionary organization, or maybe they just take a different job in a different part of the world. What do you do then if you can't find a great church after college?
I would say that you don't have to accept what is. And so I know like it's sad. Like I wish that everyone could just walk into a church and have a great church, but like you can be a change agent, you know, you can be the one that starts the Bible study that really is gospel centered. You know, yes, it would be great for you to like walk in and be fed. But maybe it's going to take like you starting that, for change to take place.
Yeah. And also something I would add is you can be searching out for different conferences that are happening, whether they be in your area or your region of the country. But I think that's a really big thing. Like you can get a lot of really great growth, practical steps for these conferences that happen post-college that aren't all geared toward college students. Like I know the Navigators, they do things like that. I remember growing up going to those and you can meet a lot of cool people and I mean, grow in those ways with what Melissa's even saying, like how to reach your community with the gospel. But I think still getting plugged in with the church, even if you don't feel like you can find a really solid one, finding one where you can find some community.
Yeah.
And there will be shreds of truth in there. Maybe be cautious. Like if they're teaching heresy, don't go there.
Yeah. But that's another podcast as well. Another episode as well.
Yeah. You can find one that is just kind of not really alive and still be a part of that.
And I think, you know, I mean, my question's kind of hypothetical. I would guess for most students, again, if they're going to a bigger city, you're going to find one if it's in this country. The issue would be maybe moving to a small town or going back to your hometown where you're like, I didn't really like my church, like you said, Alan, it just felt kind of dead. You know, that's a different kind of issue. And so sidebar, if you're listening and that's you, you can always contact us and we can help you through that. So, well, let's finish with this. Go ahead.
Sorry. I also think this is where friends come in too. Like having those friendships that last over the long haul. You know, my husband and I, we've moved a lot. But we have these friendships that we've maintained over a lot of years, and that's, we've maintained them across oceans and state lines. And so having those people in your corner that are going to check in on you. It's great to have community in person. That's super important, but also just having those people that are like, hey, we're on your team for life and we're not leaving no matter what.
Yeah. I have a guy I can text, lives in Omaha. Anytime I text him, you know, he'll get back and it's like, we just picked up where we left off, and you don't need a lot of those people, but you need a few.
Yep.
And again, I just think what you said, Melissa, earlier is so key. If you don't have those people now, you got to take initiative and you have to start. Hopefully, you know, for college students, you make some lifelong friends in college, but if you don't, you know, when you get plugged into a church, you know, you need to do that as soon as possible.
Well, there was a lot of great stuff here, and we want you guys to know that we care about you, not just in college, but for the rest of your lives. And so we hope that this was helpful. And for James and Alan and myself, we just want to say thanks for listening and see you next time.
See ya. Thanks for listening to the Nebraska Crew podcast. For more information about us, visit nebraskacrew.com, or to get in touch with our team, send us an email at nebraskateam@crew.org.